FHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. With the clock ticking, sources tell CBS News the Justice Department is close to making a decision on whether to seek an indictment against President Trump's longtime nemesis, James Comey. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Comey has denied wrongdoing, but the president publicly demanded Comey's prosecution in a social media post earlier this month.
White House has ordered government agencies to come up with mass firing plans in case of a shutdown next week. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Democrats do not support the partisan Republican spending bill because it continues to gut the health care of the American people.
Investigators in Dallas say they found anti-ICE language on bullets after a gunman killed a detainee outside a field office and left two others in critical condition, acting ICE Director Todd Lyons.
There was no way he could have known detainees were in that vehicle. He was just indiscriminately shooting, hoping to cause a carnage and mayhem.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. The end of September means it's time for the 52nd Cranberry Festival in Warrens. The Cranfest kicks off tomorrow and runs through the weekend, rain or shine. Grant Holly is executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, an industry org that turns 138 this year. Holly tells Civic Media the festival happens just ahead of the traditional time for cranberry harvest, but hybrids have loosened when the harvest can happen.
So we have these hybrids now, and we have hybrids that will start producing their berries that are ready to be harvested right around the second week of September. And then we have hybrids that will delay so that we can go almost all the way to hunting season.
This year's harvest is still different.
We are moving a little bit faster this year than we have before. This warm weather during harvest is kind of unheard of. And we're learning how to deal with it. But one of the pieces that it has done is we have growers that are out there for 14, 16 hours a day. Bringing in their berries because we need to bring them in now.
The Cranberry Festival runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., rain or shine. And Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher is putting the spotlight on our aging roads. He and community leaders say roads need a more sustainable funding solution. They argue that while the budget has some gains for roads, its structure pits funding against each other and favors temporary fixes over solutions. It's part of the Revitalize campaign led by the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Transportation Development Association. They're headed to other communities for the same campaign. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman. More news anytime at WIRI.FM and WFHR.com.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back to begin their final home series of the regular season against the Reds tomorrow night. The crew with a 3-1 win in San Diego, thanks to an RBI by Bryce Turang and solo home run shot in the ninth by catcher Danny Jansen, originally from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Just feeling more confident at the dish. Try to be on time with a fastball and got a slider kind of inner half maybe and just put a good swing on it.
College football, the Badgers face number 19th ranked Michigan Saturday at 11 a.m. in Ann Arbor. Urban Meyer saying on a podcast Wisconsin could not afford to fire head coach Luke Fickell after his contract extension. The Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday night. Micah Parsons asked, how does he think he'll be greeted by the fans in Dallas?
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause. And, you know, there's no hard feelings there, at least for me. And I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere. The best football you're going to get in Dallas when it's Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
That's Micah Parsons with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid 70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, protecting Americans' access to the ACA, also free speech. Why it's important. Congressman Mark Pocan joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. Kind of, sort of up north. I mean, for the rest of the country, all of Wisconsin is America's up north. But we're in Madison today, actually, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, who is producing this fine program. And again, we'll say at the top of this hour, believe it or not, we're in the same room.
This is the same room.
This is only the second time that I've done shows down here when Parker's here. True. And apparently the last time around, I complained. I pushed a little about the sparse, bare
decor
void behind me.
Yeah.
And so now there's like this table, there's multiple spotlights, there's the show logo, the old logo, but hey, it's a logo. Yeah,
something
is on a monitor behind me. I mean, this is very Hollywood.
It is. I have a feeling it's temporary.
And yet, I know, you can just barely tell on the Parker camera angle, there's a little bit of blue light coming off his microphone stand there.
Oh, yeah.
That indicates, and then the banner behind him that says, there seems to be, did a UFO land in front of him or something? What's going on?
But it's just me. Pat Kreitlow.
It's just me, yeah. Now we turn to his camera, and there I am over there looking nothing like in the left camera. Because in this one, I look like I've actually, you know, I'm healthy and have been well-fed, not emaciated, and green in the gills like the one that you normally have here in the studio.
I will say my camera looks better with there being something over there,
Well, it's the lighting. Lighting is very important. Brittany's going to back me up on this. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Brittany, you've done a little bit of TV in your day.
Yes, I have, and it's all about the lighting.
It is
blinding sometimes.
Yes.
Yours is very Vegas. I like it.
I know. It really is. And again, of course, because I've got to say something that makes me sound horribly old.
Oh, boy.
But just if you've ever heard the term Klieg lighting, Klieg was the brand name of the old-fashioned spotlights, those great big black cone-type spotlights, and they were called Klieg lights, and that's what, you know, we had – going back 40 years now. And so when you talk about hot studio lights, that was what people would reference, because those puppies, I mean, they were hot. By comparison now with all the LEDs and everything, you don't get that heat source anymore. Thank goodness.
That's so true.
I know.
True. But you're sending me back to my studio days now, where the heat from those lights, because the meteorologist is always sitting in the studio. That's our office, right? All of those lights, they keep the AC on. So cold in the studio while you're trying to work with those lights. Oh, it was just blanket time.
It was. And ours too. We'd come into the studio and there's our meteorologist, and she'd be in a jacket on a hot day because it was a meat locker in there because of the old hot lighting. So I am glad to see that lighting has developed over time here. Although, like our listener said before, you know, they still preferred the natural lighting off the Lake Wissota studio. And the same goes for you. You've got some very lovely natural lighting there. So
thank you.
Are you going to tell me that this is all, you've got like six ring lights in front of you just to, you know, make it look proper?
We actually have, I do have a ring light in front of me. I have another tall one in the corner. And then I also have a happy light, too. So three lights from every corner. Then I got the backlight because you need all of it or it won't work.
Yeah.
So,
you got the whole three-point lighting thing going on. Wow.
I was
going
to say, here's my dirty little secret. There are actually five lights that I have to turn on in my home office for the for the lighting there.
Are we counting ceiling lights?
There's a ceiling light. There's a ring light. There's a halogen light. There's the bookshelf lights, and then there's the adjust the curtains for natural lighting.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I guess I'm at the same number then.
Thanks for joining us for Lighting Talk today, where we would normally have a weather report. But since Brittany's here, I mean, we may as well go ahead because, you know, yesterday all we had was the natural light and that was enough. It was gorgeous. And so where do we go from here?
More and more of that natural light. Plenty of it. So much of it that maybe some of us will get sick of it. Nah. We're going to love it. We are looking bright and beautiful. Once this fog clears, it is dense in places. A lot of spots are already seeing it lift, but the dense fog advisory remains in effect until 9 from Ashland to Green Bay and north. So up north in the state, but it is still in low-lying areas, especially in the rivers off west too. So temperatures this morning, we hit 39 degrees in Merrill. Pretty crisp. That's because we didn't have many clouds out there. And so as the fog burns off, it's leading way to beautiful sunshine. Mostly sunny, statewide, nothing happening today. We're all going to rise to those mid-70s feeling fantastic. We'll repeat that up north tomorrow. Some 80s will be felt down south tomorrow. And we're going to continue to be in the upper 70s to low 80s for the entire weekend and into early next week. We hold mild and above average for next week as well. Because mind you, this time of year, we should be in the upper 60s across the state. So 80s is fantastic. And we're going to hold on to that for all next week, too. I don't see rain in the forecast until next weekend.
And so, again, I don't know when everybody's going to be doing their field work. But for any field work, any harvesting that can get done next week, you're welcome. Because it's going to be a good week for that, along with anything else that you might be planning. Brittany Merlot, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Let's bring in Chad Holmes now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau to talk about the things that he's been following. He does, of course, you know, 10,000 high school football games this time of year. He's got, of course, all of the local interviews that he does during this particular program during the 7 and 8 a.m. hours. And then, of course, he's following some national headlines as well. And so, Chad, I know that We'll talk about Tom Tiffany in a moment here because obviously he's the congressman there. He's running for governor and everything else. But you tell me you also noticed that one of the congressional candidates in the 3rd District, Becca Cook, made a comment and that you heard us talking about it on the show recently, her noting an endorsement of Zoran Mamdani in the New York City mayor's race.
Well, number one, I'm a big fan of whenever Todd Alba brings on Pat Kreitlow on his program, and then I'm always make sure to tune in, and Rigby Olson, and you three get together, and I have to be, you know, tuned in because
Wednesdays at 2 o'clock.
I'm a huge fan, and yesterday you guys were talking about this, and you all agreed that basically that Becca Cook should not have answered the question on whether or not she would support if she was voting in
New
York.
I went under the supposition that it was a question designed to bait you, that there is no right answer. So try to come up with the least wrong answer because you're being baited and don't take the bait. So that was my premise to say, don't have to answer it. So you do not agree.
I have a different premise on a couple of different ways of looking at it. Number one is I think the idea of, and I heard, I don't know, I think it was maybe you or Trigby talking about, instead of answering it that way, is that you would, I care about who's the mayor of
Toma or La Crosse.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Number one, I think at this point we need folks who are willing to answer the questions and not play the consultant games. That was my first thought. It sounded like this is the kind of answer that a consultant would give you. And basically, my opinion is that the consultants for the Democratic Party have run the party into a ditch and made a bunch of people that are sounding like robotic candidates. And we hear all the time about the right kind of language or, you know, in terms of how Democrats should be running. And I think we're running these candidates around in circles when we should be looking for the bulwarks of this world right now. That if there's one thing that MAGA has proven is that they can go as far right as possible if people seem to think that in some way they're being authentic. And yet here, in this case, that's one part of the answer. And then the second part, for somebody like myself, and I've said it to you, that Becca Cook, the first thing that pops into my mind, what is the first thing that pops into my mind? What have I told you before? The commercial with her in the middle,
of the road. Yes, exactly.
And basically, my thought was, when I hear people saying, oh, she should avoid answering the question, mm-hmm. and she should give the consultant response, my first thought is, well, then you may as well dust off the old middle-of-the-road commercial and put that back on, because that's exactly what it would have implied to me. I found that she answered it straightforward as something that was very surprising, number one. And number two, it gave me more of an appreciation for her and for folks like myself, maybe, that are not from the mushy middle, that, and I'm going to be maybe a little bit elbows out here, that the Lincoln Projectization of the Democratic Party.
Ooh, okay.
I think that we have to be thinking a little bit more about the people that bring the passion to the party and not go after people that may or may not vote in the end anyways. Because I go back to last year. There were a lot of folks, I would say, from that wing of political thinking that thought, holy cow, this was the most wonderful thing that we ever saw when Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris came to Wisconsin and campaigned. Mm-hmm. In the end, how many votes did that get? Not many. Because the people that were already voting for Kamala were voting for Kamala. The people on the other side of the aisle looked at Liz Cheney as a traitor to the party. I don't think that running as for the mushy middle is, number one, the smart way to run, and I don't think it's a successful way to run. And that's just my opinion. Again, I just think that we need to grasp the energy in order to beat the energy that is out there. We can talk about Derek Van Orden and how horrible he is, but there are still a lot of people that will crawl on glass to vote for Derek Van Orden.
Yeah.
We need to have people that are willing to crawl on glass to vote for Becca Cook, who, or whoever wins that Democratic primary. That's just my thought on, you know, my first thought was, again, the consultants are out there telling
yes,
us to be very moderate and to be trying to get to the middle. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's a winning strategy for Democrats in 2026.
And I completely understand that. On its face, when both Todd and Trigvy said, well, you know, I think the right answer would be, I care who the mayor is in La Crosse or Toma. You'll recall that my answer really showed why I would not be a good candidate, because my answer would have been a very sincere one. Don't know. Don't care. You know, I'm running here. The last thing I care about is who's running for mayor in New York City.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
And I'm just generally, from what you've seen around the country here, when it comes to that particular candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there such a reticence for Democrats to endorse the Democratic nominee? Would we see anybody that is too conservative in the Democratic Party have all this hand-wringing to be able to say, I support the Democratic nominee for this important office? I just find that, again, there's this idea that somehow you can always be a little too far to the left, but you can never be too far to the right, whether within the Democratic Party or within the political system itself.
That is a very valid point. And it's also why I would point people to upnorthnewswi.com, because the answer is the S word, that Zoran Mamdani embraces the term socialist. And there is now a socialist caucus in the Wisconsin legislature made up of four lawmakers, including Christian Phelps of Eau Claire. And I would really urge people to read the op-ed that we recently published from him of why he is embracing the socialist label. Fran Hong talked on this program, candidate for governor, said the same thing, that socialist label holds her accountable to keeping her promise that things should benefit everybody, not just a few. Now, the answer to your question is, of course, a lot of consultants and party leaders, I mean, they still pucker up like crazy at the mere mention of the S word. And you've got people like Francesca Hong and Christian Phelps and Zoran Mamdani pushing back and saying, no, we're embracing these values. And they're doing just what you're saying, is be honest and fight for what you believe in.
And real quickly as well, if you look at the recent polling on these issues, if we can somehow get to a real discussion of issues, and that's on me and that's on other people with microphones, that would go a long way towards taking away maybe some of that stigma as well.
Yeah, exactly. So there he goes. Tony puts on YouTube, sneakily spicy Chad today. Chad Holmes, catch him on 98.9.
All perspective. That's what we do around here, right?
I know. It's our stock and trade. Thank you, Chad.
Go.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll have Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets and Joe Specky all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The cost of mesothelioma treatments can exceed $400,000, and families often face losing their homes and life savings just to pay the bill. The Rights and Claims Department of Flint Cooper has helped victims secure financial support they need to pay for their care and ensure their family's future. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma and don't have legal representation, call Flint Cooper now at 800-606-8169. Time is running out for you to file a claim, so don't wait. Call 800-606-8169 for a free consultation.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
Looking to give back to your community? Visit volunteerwisconsin.org to find volunteer opportunities near you. Join us in celebrating United Ways Month by getting involved. Visit volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way today. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
For a few days after the event, so there's lots of opportunities and different time slots, and some of them are 2 hours, some of them are 4 hours, so, you know, if you can only come one day for a couple hours, that's fine. So there's lots of opportunities to get involved in lots of different ways.
The ODC's Haunted House is coming up October 17th and 18th, 6 to 9:30 that Friday and Saturday. It is going to be a hauntingly good time. We want you to be a part of it. And certainly, again, reach out to Ann and the team if you can volunteer or you have any of those items she was looking for. We will be bringing this on our morning show and promoting both those things along with the event itself and try to get you guys a lot more volunteers.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I just want to also mention a reminder that it's a free event to the community as well. And then we do recognize that, you know, some people don't like the scary stuff, but they like fun, haunted, you know, a little bit more fun Halloween activities. And so we'll have the haunted section, but then we're also going to have a Pirate's Cove, which is the mm-hmm. kids section. And again, wheelchair accessible, family friendly. So, you know, just really a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we've changed it up. We know that, you know, in the past, sometimes waiting in line has been a little bit lengthy. And so we're hoping to really keep things moving and you know, kind of do a better job this year.
We appreciate the job that you do, period. You do a great job every time in this community. You're in line, be patient. Keep this in mind. If you're waiting in line, that tells you that there's something good at the end of it. There's not lines for people that are for things that aren't fun and great and everything. So, you know, be patient, be understanding, and of course, have a good time, and we'll meet you there. It's going to be a blast. We'll be talking more about this.
Yeah, and we're going to have food trucks on site, be aware of that. And then we'll have some fun activities going on outside. You know, usually we have some sidewalk chalk, we have some bubbles, and you know, some ways to kind of keep people engaged and having some fun while they're waiting to get into the haunted house.
Love the Pirates Cove idea, too. That's fantastic. It's a really, it just, again, shows how much you guys are paying attention. You care about the community, trying to make something for everybody. And it's all the more reason why we love to back the work that you guys do over there. Any chance we get, it's going to be fun. We'll be leading, talking about it as we lead into it. I got another fun event coming up and that I wanted to talk with you and Ashley about. The Seussical Musical. This is a sensory friendly event coming up on October 11th. And you know what, Ashley, could you tell us a little bit about this event and what's going to be going on with it?
Yeah, it's going to be truly accessible because we're going to have, it'll be sensory friendly. There'll be dim lighting and no confetti cannons, loud sounds or flashing lights, but it'll also be accessible in all the different ways because there'll be a live American Sign Language interpreter and closed captioning for those who are deaf and hard of hearing. And there'll be accessible seating and enlarged programs for people with low vision. There'll be a quiet space for people that need to take a break. And also there'll be like 1 hour prior to both of the Saturday shows, there'll be a sensory area and a sensory tour where you can feel different items that will be in the show, like props, costumes, and you can meet the cast beforehand. And there will be like sensory bags that people can take home with them with fidget toys and a choice board and earplugs for sound sensitivities. And yeah.
That's you just nailed it. You did a great job, Ashley. Yeah. Nice work. Appreciate that. Thank you for that breakdown. And certainly want to say a big shout out to our ODC for hosting events like this, having events like this. I don't mean to put this on anybody else, but you guys are the only ones doing things like this, really. Well, and they're very necessary.
Yes, they are. And what I will say, though, is what I did want to mention is this is really a collaboration. So this really wasn't ODC's. This isn't ODC's event, but
sure.
we are part of the sensory friendly portion of it.
Yes, yeah.
And so we actually are partnering with the Playhouse Theater Group. Melody Audiology actually is really the one that is spearheading this to make it sensory friendly. We're also partners with Mid-State Independent Living Choices and then also the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin. So really, this is a true, true partnership. I also wanted to give a shout out to Frey Memorial Presbyterian Church out of Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. They actually gave us a grant so that we can purchase all of these fidgets and sensory friendly items to offer this as an inclusive event for the community. And so we're really super excited about it. There are a couple of other, they are offering the program also on October 9th and 10th. At 7 p.m. It's at the Spash Theater. Those are standard performances. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, some sensory needs or accessibility needs, the performances to come to would be the October 11th at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So at noon and at 6 p.m. is when the sensory tours will start. And it will offer all of the amazing things that Ashley mentioned to make it completely accessible for the community. So we're super excited about being a part of it.
Appreciate the other organizations that are a part of this and such a gigantic part of this and encourage people to learn more about them and the work that they're doing. I've wanted to actually have them on with us at times and talk with them a little bit more about it. What I appreciate about the ODC is the above and beyond to be a part of things like this, that we don't see a lot of that in our community and not just our community, around the country. You know, you just don't see a lot of sensory events. I think that not only am I hopeful that we will see more of these, but as we do more of them, I think you see the turnout and the amount of people that really could use these events and enjoy them a lot more. And I feel like it's one of the more universal things I could say. All kids deserve to have fun, you know, and that's really a big part of what this is about, is making these events accessible for all kids.
Right. Well, and not even kids.
Yes.
You
yes,
know,
good point.
Everybody,
yes,
you
yes,
know,
good
I mean,
point.
Again, if you have a sensory issue or you're hard of hearing, or, you know, have low vision. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to accomplish that for anybody that has a need to have something a bit more accessible. And so we are super excited to be a part of it. And
what is the date for the sensory event of the Seussical musical again?
It'll be October 11th at 1 and 7 p.m. And you can come an hour early both days at noon and 6 p.m. to take the sensory
tour. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. State lawmakers are introducing bills that would change Wisconsin elections, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Both Republicans and Democrats have their own proposals, but they introduce them together at a press conference, a rarity here in Wisconsin. Republican Representative Scott Krug from Nakusa presented the Republican plans. His bills include standardizing drop box rules, creating standard early voting hours, and new rules for election observers. One of the most notable among his plans, a bill to allow poll workers to begin processing absentee ballots on the Monday before Election Day. Most states allow that, but Wisconsin does not. A similar bill last year was blocked by Republicans in the state Senate.
This package that I'm looking to introduce this week does take into account a lot of the things that President Trump has said about elections. We need safety, we need security, we need to know who voters are, but we also want to make sure that, you know, we understand that we set the line in Wisconsin, that we have our own election system.
Meanwhile, Democrats' proposals largely focus on increasing voter education and accessibility. Under their plan, high schoolers would get voter registration forms and be allowed to pre-register before they turn 18. Their bills would increase accessibility training for poll workers and mandate that elected officials work a shift as a poll worker, so they understand the system. Representative Lee Snodgrass from Appleton.
I have seen time and time again my colleagues making false claims about election security or administration. And as I tell people, there's no better way of learning than doing.
Their plans would also increase protection for clerks, their staff, and poll workers. Krug has signed on as an author of three of the Democrats' bills. Lawmakers made it clear they don't agree on all of these proposals, but they want to work it out in committee like they're supposed to. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
And for WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shally Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be some new characters in the second installment of the Wicked feature film franchise. The Wicked 2, more specifically, Wicked for Good trailer, just dropped, and it features Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and Tin Man. Universal says this is the final trailer before the film's release November 21st of this year. Wicked for Good is a follow-up to 2024's Oscar-nominated Wicked. If you're looking for a new sports documentary, you're in luck. Clemente is the story of one of the best baseball players ever whose career and life ended way too soon. It is now available for streaming on the History Channel and explores baseball great Roberto Clemente's life on and off the field from his early struggles to becoming one of the best players in the game, as well as one of the most beloved. Clemente died in a plane crash in 1972 while delivering aid to Nicaragua. The film is executive produced by basketball great LeBron James and film directing great Richard Linklater. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid 70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the
after 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy champ Ben Chan into the studio. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week. And Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar drops by to talk about his beard contest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, live from Madison Studio A2 here with Parker Olson producing in the same room together. It's hard to tell, but yes, we are here.
It's an experience.
It is an experience, yes. So we'll do that again today and again tomorrow. Anyway, it's a Friday morning, or it's a Thursday morning, which means that on Friday morning, I will be starting to tease our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. But this week's question is, who's to blame if there's another government shutdown, which could happen in the middle of next week? If you want to be among the first to see the question of the week and respond to it, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Let's talk about your money in the markets after the opening bell here with Sean O'Malley and then Joe Zepecki to follow in just a little bit. Our theme would be squirrels. Squirrels that are burying acorns, they sure are in my backyard. They're just going crazy. It's making me a little nervous about winter. We know that businesses have been stockpiling inventories, but what about employees? What about workers, job seekers, things like that? What kind of are we seeing similar behavior, like a wariness of what may be yet to come in the economy?
Yes, absolutely, Pat. Everybody is basically going for the safety play, is going for the known rather than the unknown. So what you're seeing is that the labor market is actually starting to freeze up. This is because fewer Americans are willing to quit their jobs. And hiring, of course, has slowed because there are fewer jobs to be had, which results in a labor market that overall has increasingly limited mobility. There's nobody, you know, trading one job for another. So everything's sort of just holding steady, kind of frozen, if you will. And all of this is kind of ironic because the job dissatisfaction rates among U.S. workers keeps rising, but they're staying put in their jobs because of the economic uncertainty. So they're making sure that they keep getting those nuts to, you know, store away for wintertime, and they're not taking any chances. They're not taking any flyers on, oh, let me start a new job. Let me leave my job and start a new business. There's just too much uncertainty to really feel like you can do that with confidence.
How does that tie in, or does it tie in with some of the latest weekly initial jobless claims numbers?
Yeah, the weekly initial jobless numbers were not horrible, 218,000. So it is moderating a bit, but we'll see what the full picture looks like when we're looking at the unemployment numbers. You still have limited hiring going on. So even though, thank heavens, we're seeing fewer people file initial jobless claims, there are, and if the trend continues that we've seen the last several months, there's not going to be nearly enough replacement to keep the jobs picture growing. And it's been, as we've talked about several times before, very anemic for the last handful of months.
Go bury those acorns, people. Sean O'Malley, thank you very much for the update on your money and the markets. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now to talk about some of the headlines of the week, which certainly include the aforementioned possible government shutdown, the entry of Tom Tiffany into the governor's race, and more. Joe, how are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay. Are you, much like talking to Melissa yesterday, we were talking about ragweed and seasonal allergies and things like that. Are you one of the people laid low by that?
I would not ever describe myself as laid low, Pat. I'm pretty tough to lay low. But if you can hear my voice, I may not be operating at peak capacity today.
Well,
but that's different than being laid low.
Yes, that's vocal capacity is mental acuity, sharp as ever. So how would you welcome Republican Tom Tiffany to the 2026 Wisconsin governor's race?
Come on in, Tom. The water's fine. This is a boon for Democrats. This guy is the immediate front runner for the Republican nomination. I don't know if you've heard, but Bill Berrien hasn't had the best week.
No, he has not.
People are beside themselves with a Congress that refuses to stand up to Donald Trump, who cannot legislate or govern. And when they do, one time in, what are we on here, 230 or 40 days of the Trump 2.0 presidency, what they do is, like Tom Tiffany, vote to add $4 trillion to the national debt, kick hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites off health care, make it harder for rural hospitals to operate, all so they can give another handout to millionaires and billionaires. And Tom Tiffany and the Republican Party, in their infinite wisdom, go, I know what the people want. That. Okay, come on in, Tommy.
And so in he is. And I mean, that's without even going, you know, on his attempt to shift his position on women's reproductive health rights. I mean, economic issues alone tell you that Tom Tiffany is not going to appeal to moderate voters. He's going to have to work really hard or scare them with something else. But, you know, to be fair, I guess, if fair is the right word, Tom Tiffany's original state Senate district and his congressional district, those positions he has, you know, they serve him well in those deep red districts. It's just that now he may be in for a bit of an awakening when it comes to trying to win a statewide race.
Among the things that Congress has been derelict in, among the things that Tom Tiffany apparently can't be bothered to figure out while he's plotting his run for governor, is how to stop a tariff war that is killing farmers in his own district. Good luck selling soybeans right now. Farmers across Wisconsin are going, what the hell is happening? And Tom Tiffany and MAGA Republicans can't be bothered to put a check on this president's clearly illegal tariffs that are killing their ability to move goods to market. I understand. This is what I'll say to defend Tom Tiffany. I can understand why you wouldn't want to be in Washington, D.C. or serving in the Republican Congress right now. But good grief, man. Do something. Your people in northern Wisconsin hired you to fight for them. And he can't be bothered to do that because it would annoy Donald Trump. And so I understand why he wants to get out of the swamp, but I don't understand what case he thinks he can legitimately make and say, this is when I stood up for my people. This is when I went to fight for our farmers. This is when I got out of bed and said, Wisconsin manufacturers need an ally, and I'm going to be it. How can he do that? I don't think he can.
We're talking to Joe Zepecki. Let's go over to the Democratic side, where last hour we had Devin Remiker, the state Democratic Party chair, on. And I asked him about, you know, what will most likely be many contentious Democratic primaries for congressional seats, for legislative seats, and, of course, certainly for governor. And, you know, he answers as a state party chair should. But, Joe, in terms of, you know, what your own advice as a strategist would be, again, I know varies from candidate to candidate and from district to district. So let me ask it in some kind of a broad overarching way, and then you go wherever you want with this. But should there be a concern that the primary is August 11th next year, that August 12th, the headline will be Democrats in complete disarray after several bruising primaries? Is there, and if so, how do they avoid having a headline like that?
There are 319 days until August 11th. That is several political lifetimes. And I don't buy that there are going to be contentious Democratic primaries. I think there will be competitive Democratic primaries. And they don't have to be contentious. Look no further than your two interview guests this morning. Devin and I ran against each other in what is basically a primary. We didn't get contentious. I think the Democratic Party emerged stronger from that process because people had an opportunity to hear competing visions, not like huge differences, but we kept it civil. We kept it above board. We talked about how we were going to revitalize the Democratic Party, and Devin came out ahead. And my message every single day since then has been, we need Devin to succeed. We need a strong Democratic Party. There's no contentiousness. So there doesn't have to be contentiousness after a primary. There doesn't have to be disarray. And I don't think there will be, because Democrats from tip to tail across this state understand the gravity of the moment we're in, where a mega majority Congress is abdicating its constitutional responsibility to be a check and balance on an out of control president who is undermining the rule of law, who is destroying due process, who is, you know, launched this insane tariff war with our best trading partners. Like, that's the focus. And I believe that Democrats will keep their eyes on the prize. And after competitive primaries, everybody will be on the same team the next day going, we need to elect a pro-democracy and therefore big D Democratic majority to the United States House. We need to hold on to the governor's mansion, and we need to flip control of the Wisconsin state legislature. That's what's going to happen.
As noted on YouTube from Tony, he says, Joe Zepecki and Devin Remiker, where's William Garcia? Well, I tell you what, William Garcia, the chair of the 3rd Congressional District, Dems, is welcome anytime, especially given recent events, Joe, about their congressman, Derek Van Orden. And I know we've discussed it before, but I do feel like, and I don't feel like I'm comparing apples to oranges in talking about Derek Van Orden and Jimmy Kimmel being brought back by ABC. In both cases, I feel like there's now been a backlash to the backlash, where people have said, hey, we get that you were upset about, you know, the Charlie Kirk killing, but you guys have gone way overboard with your reaction to it.
Well, I think we have to detach the two issues. Political violence is wrong, full stop. Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, at that memorial service on Sunday, did one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in forgiving her husband's assassin. I mean, that is actual, like, wow. How does anybody get there? That is over here. On the other hand, you have, again, this out-of-control president who is clearly looking for a pretext to fire Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, among the insanity of this week was Republicans rushing out to the shows and going online and saying, no, this wasn't government censorship. And then as soon as Kimmel goes back on the air, Donald Trump is like, yeah, it was. I still want him gone. And so those are two separate issues to me, and it just underscores the gravity of the moment that we're in.
It does. And again, the inability of leaders on the political right to try to strike any kind of chord of unity, witnessing, you know, how J.D. Vance reacted to the shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas yesterday. These are folks in Vance and Van Orden and Trump and others who quite seriously need to have to take their phones taken away, take that little tiny keyboard away, and maybe react like leaders and grownups.
Yeah, J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, he has access to information. And for him to rush out and ascribe a motive before any information is known is the height of irresponsibility.
Joe Zepecki is here with us, and we will be joined by Todd Alba in just a bit for some final news and notes from here on Lake Wissota. From here in Madison.
Hey, it took you a while to get tripped up.
Yeah, look, it took until 8:48. Good for me. Yeah, for where we're going to be today. And then again tomorrow, doing the programs from here. And tomorrow, of course, we'll have our, by and large, our regular Week in Review panel. So stick around for that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with a weekend sports update. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now we're bringing you a new way to find all of this tremendous content all in one place. It's a new email newsletter called Civic Media Today. Like the Recombobulation Area, it also publishes on Substack. This is going to be your one-stop shop to connect with everything across the Civic Media extended universe, from podcasts and live streams of your favorite shows to the latest on everything happening across Wisconsin. So go subscribe to Civic Media Today.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is normally the time when I would tell you to stick around for Matt and Air on Air that's coming up next with Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach. And normally I would have in front of me something that would tell me about guests or anything like that. But hanging out here in Madison, having a good time with Parker, and it occurs to me, I didn't do that. I will tell you that on the Todd Alba show coming up later today, Dan Schaefer will be... No, wait, I don't have to do that. Todd Alba's here. Right here, along with Joe Sopecki, who continues with us. Todd, how are you? And who the heck is on your show today?
I'm well, gentlemen. Good to see you all. We have the great Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor. I know Dan's going to want to talk politics, but I'm going to ask him his second love, which is there truly a connection of keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo there by signing his brother? So we'll be talking a little Bucks strategy. And, of course, the Crew back in town in Milwaukee for their final home game the regular season. They have one game left to secure the number one overall seed in baseball, which would give them home field advantage at AmFam Field throughout the World Series. I don't want to jinx it, but that will be it.
Cross your fingers there, yeah.
I know. And then we've got Keegan Kelly from Crack.com, entertainment writer on the ramifications of Jimmy Kimmel coming back to ABC and what that means for free speech and entertainment and all of us. And we'll pay tribute to Pat Kreitlow with talking about him grousing about the fact he has his old logo behind him.
Oh, yes,
I wasn't the one to put my own face on my logo.
Well, that's true.
I offered to put the current logo back there. No, I just put the Up North News one.
We have an updated Up North News logo that I needed to get you, and I neglected to do that. So, Joe Specky's here as well. Joe, you said you wanted to take a crack at our question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Who is to blame if there's a government shutdown next week? Is it congressional Republicans who can't shoot straight? Is it Democrats who are being obstinate and a lot of Americans are going to hurt from a government shutdown? Or is it President Trump more so than congressional Republicans because Mr. Art of the Deal should be able to work something out? A lot of our answers have been they want to pick A and C, which to me is like, no, you can't get away with that. Is it more on the congressional Republicans or is it more on Trump or is it the Democrats? Joe, where do you come down?
It's on Republicans who control the White House, the Senate, and the U.S. House of Representatives. Democrats have like the tiniest little smidgebot of power in Washington. And what they are saying is, oh, you need just the tiniest little smidgebot of help to keep the government open? Great. We are prepared to deal. Here's the deal. We want you to stop healthcare costs from going even higher on 20 million Americans. And so if you would just do that one thing, which is probably to your benefit politically, then we'll get you the votes you need. And Republicans can't be bothered to say, yeah, that seems like a good trade. So clearly, it is not as simple as it's Donald Trump or congressional Republicans. It's the whole lot of them.
The whole
all Democrats. All Democrats want is for 20 million people to not have to pay even more for health care next year. And Republicans can't be bothered. Give me a break.
But if they don't do that, and if there is a shutdown, and a lot of people do get hurt, the question, Todd Alba, becomes, I don't know, is the question whether a few Democrats cave to end the shutdown? Or is the question, when will a few Democrats cave to end the shutdown? As Todd Alba likes to say, what say you?
I blame Bill Berrien because he's bringing back an old 1990s Bill Clinton strategy of triangulation.
Not that kind of triangulation. Mean, No.
That's who I would blame. I really hope Democrats hold their ground. But I mean, Pat, you've been an elected official. I lost two primaries. I think when you're hearing from your constituents and they're saying we're not going to vote for you again unless you do something, quote unquote, that puts a lot of pressure on people. I would never second guess Joe Specky. I guess I would put a little bit more on Trump. I mean, after all, he's the guy who said, I alone killed immigration. I alone controlled the budget. If Donald Trump really wanted a budget passed and to save Americans from hurt, apparently he could do that. So I would put it back on him.
Donald Trump will always, always shoot the hostage. I mean, he's even preparing for massive layoffs over and above what a shutdown would call for, Joe. So it is a fair question to you as well, is can Democrats in Congress hold the line so that public pressure eventually comes down against congressional Republicans and Trump?
They need to. The economy is teetering right now. The last thing we need is a extended government shutdown. And if that's what happens, it is the fault of Republicans from one end of Pennsylvania Avenue to another.
Now will they get that successfully messaged that way? That finally becomes the trick. Todd, I know I'm sure you've mentioned it ad nauseum on your show, but Tom Tiffany entered the governor's race, and you and I have not talked about it here. Joe and I have both talked about how he does not have a record built for the moderate voter, and so he might have a tougher row to hoe than some other Republicans who could get in, but is that something that he can overcome with enough, you know, funding and consultants and everything like that?
I echo other people that said this is probably, if Trump decides to endorse Tiffany, probably the biggest gift Democrats could have in a general election. I've had the displeasure of being in the same room with Tom Tiffany when I worked with my old boss in the state Senate. He is not deep when it comes to understanding issues, and he goes to the lowest hanging fruit. You already saw some pretty hateful and easy things for a Republican to go after in a general election. And I agree with Joe and others that I just don't think that plays across the state of Wisconsin.
And you know, the last thing I'll say about it is he loves, and he keeps using it this week, he loves the phrase communist China. And anytime somebody says communist China instead of China, tells me it's right in line with what you said about being not particularly deep on the issues. Joe Zepecki, Todd Alba, thanks to both of you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Feel better, Joe. Have some tea.
There you go. Some Brewers. That's right. We got that coming for us. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for joining us as well. I'm Pat Kreitler here in Madison. Back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Have a great day.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A dramatic upgrade on second quarter growth. The Commerce Department's revised read shows the economy expanded at a surprising rate of 3.8% from April through June. Economist Gus Fauchet.
Consumers are in solid shape, most of them, and they are continuing to increase their spending despite concerns about tariffs and inflation.
The administration is warning federal agencies to brace for layoffs if the government shuts down. Correspondent Michael Wallace.
CBS News has obtained a memo from the White House Budget Office that tells agencies to consider reduction in force notices if no spending bill is passed by Tuesday's deadline.
The Wall Street Journal reports Delta Airlines is replacing auxiliary power units in the tails of its Airbus jets to stop toxic fumes from leaking into the cabin. Dr. Robert Harrison has treated more than 100 flight crew members.
It gets interesting.